You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I thought the first hour of tonight's live show was fantastic, ladies and gentlemen, but we are just getting started, just getting warmed up tonight on the Political Cesspool. Welcome back to the second hour. I'm James Edwards, Saturday evening, August 22nd, as we broadcast live this evening, unrehearsed and uncensored, from Memphis, Tennessee. Got a couple great guests coming up. Paul Fromm, who's actually on the line with us now, and Mark Weber. Coming up in the third hour, we're going to spend the bulk, if not the entire second hour, talking with Paul. So we're really going to be able to savor this interview. So we're going to take our time getting into it. And before I introduce Paul, I want to read an excerpt from an article that was published by the American Free Press newspaper a couple of days ago. The American Free Press also did an interview with me a couple of months ago that we posted to our website. Great publication. And we had one of their reporters on. Week before last? So we have a great relationship with the American Free Press. But anyway, the Department of Homeland Security has persecuted Paul Fromm, and the American Free Press covered that. We're going to cover it tonight on our show, but this is what the story reads from the pages of AFP. Earlier this summer, one of tens of thousands of criminal illegals that the Department of Homeland Security had failed to apprehend murdered a California woman in broad daylight. During that same week, the very same week, that same department denied entry to a Canadian political activist who is a director of the Council of Conservative Citizens. I'll give you one guess as to who we're talking about. It's Paul Fromm. But before we get to him, I want to read two more paragraphs from this story. On July 1st, a 32-year-old woman, pay very close attention to what I'm about to read, ladies and gentlemen, because it's absolutely upsetting. A 32-year-old woman was walking with her father after dinner on Pier 14 in San Francisco. They were approached by Francisco Sanchez, an illegal alien from Mexico, who had 7 felony convictions and had been deported 5 times. For no apparent reason, Sanchez shot this 32-year-old woman in the head. She died in her father's arms, crying, "Dad, help me. Help me." Now, somehow, the Department of Homeland Security had failed to keep up with this violent illegal alien who had 7 felony convictions and had been deported 5 times. But they found a way to keep up with me in the fact that I was holding a rally for Nathan Bedford Forrest earlier this summer. They were all over me, calling me, telling me not to talk about it on this radio program. They can keep up with that. But they can't keep up with a guy like this, no. Even worse, San Francisco had declared itself a sanctuary city and refuses to enforce laws against illegal aliens. Sanchez had actually been apprehended several months before he murdered this 32-year-old woman for pot possession and distribution. However, the city of San Francisco refused to honor a detainer order from ICE, and Sanchez walked free. Far different, though, was how the Department of Homeland Security handled Paul Fromm, who had been invited to be the keynote speaker at a meeting of the American Freedom Party in California. After passing through pre-clearance at Toronto's Pearson Airport on his way to Los Angeles on June the 26th, that was just 5 days before this woman was killed. DHS, you know, again, didn't have that under control. But on June 26th, they were on top of Paul Fromm, who is not a criminal at all. He was confronted by agents who made it plain that he was being hassled and turned down because of his politics. Okay, well, we've got that entire article at our website this week, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It was posted on Monday. The title is Department of Homeland Security Persecutes Paul Fromm. And in addition to the great article, I just read the opening 3 paragraphs. In addition to that great piece, there's actually a picture of me and Paul Fromm there, which is really the best part. I mean, you're talking about 2 good-looking guys there. But without further ado, Paul Fromm is a Canadian free speech activist who says his two main issues are freedom of speech and immigration. Not enough free speech and too much immigration, he says. He's a longtime director of the Council of Conservative Citizens. We're going to talk more about that organization later this hour. He's presently writing a book on white genocide in South Africa based upon his recent fact-finding visit to that country, where he saw camps filled with destitute whites, victims of radical affirmative action, and 21 years of murderous violence that all too conveniently doesn't get reported on by the media. Okay, Paul, well, the stage has been set for you, my friend, and we certainly want to go back to what happened to you on that fateful day of June the 26th, because as far as I know, you're the first person that I've read about that has been denied entry to the United States, law-abiding citizen who has come here hundreds and hundreds of times over the last, you know, decades, denied entry because they are a political dissident, if you want to say that. I mean, basically, I mean, Paul's a great guy. I know him. He's a good friend of mine. There's nothing that he's ever said or done that raises any red flag with me whatsoever. He's a salt of the earth type of guy. Fill us in on the blanks, because this is a fascinating story.
Yes, James, you're right. I have traveled hundreds of times to the United States in the past two decades. I get my printing done just across the border in Niagara Falls, New York. Our monthly newsletters. Now, that's about an hour drive from where I live. So I'm there 12 times a year just for that. And I go, as you know, to a number of conferences. I'm the director of the Council of Conservative Citizens and member of a number of the other groups you're a member of. And I get speaking engagements in the States. I'm down at the Institute for Historical Review usually a couple times a year. I've taught for Pastor Tom Robb's Leadership Training Institute, Soldiers of the Cross Leadership Training Institute in Harrison, Arkansas. So, I mean, I've never gotten in trouble with the law in the United States. Never been charged, never been convicted. A completely law-abiding individual. So when I was on my way to Los Angeles on the 26th of June, we clear U.S. Homeland Security at airports in Canada, in the United States, say Toronto and so on. So I would actually clear it at the airport. So when I went to what's called primary inspection, where you show your passport, show your ticket, I was asked by a rather belligerent Hispanic, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Los Angeles, then on to Bakersfield. And, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm attending the annual meeting of the American Freedom Party. It's a white supremacist group. Well, you know, part of me wanted to say, well, even if it were, so what? You've got freedom of speech. But I said, no, it's not. Okay, so I got sent over to secondary inspection. One of the tactics of secondary inspection is to keep you cooling your heels so long you miss your flight. You sit around, and you wouldn't believe these bureaucrats. They're standing at their computers, and They're kind of pecking away, and then they have a chat to another bureaucrat. Then they go for a coffee, or they go to the washroom, and finally they call up one of the poor people who's, desperate that he's about to miss his plane.
Paul, hold up right there. I was a little long-winded in introducing you, only because I knew we had a full hour to cultivate this thing. When we come back, we're going to find out more about Paul's incredible and fascinating experience with the Department of Homeland Security as he attempted to cross the border from Canada to America. Completely law-abiding citizen. We're going to hear more about what happened to him right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
You want to know another thing that makes this show so great, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're the only AM radio program in the country that's talking about this issue tonight. If there was a, you know, if all of these other so-called conservative shows cared anything about freedom, they would care about the freedom of people like, well, yours truly for that matter, but certainly Paul Fromm. You know, a man denied access to this country strictly because the government doesn't like his politics, not because he did anything wrong, not because he did anything illegal. And he's telling us this story, and we're really going to take our time in learning it because, you know, if he had been an illegal alien, even a felonious illegal alien seven times over who had been deported five times, who ended up murdering someone, he wouldn't have had that much of a hassle getting over here. But because he speaks out on freedom of speech issues and issues pertaining to race realism and some of the other things that we talk about, well, he gets hassled. And so, Paul, take all the time you need to tell this story in every bit of detail that you deem worthy. And you had just shared with us before that you got flagged, basically. They didn't like the fact that you were going to speak to a meeting of the American Freedom Party, which they purposefully misidentified as a white supremacist group. I mean, everything's a white supremacist group now, unless it's just, I mean, Donald Trump's going to cause the next Holocaust, according to the Washington Post. So, you know, if he's an acolyte of Hitler, you know, what are we going to do? Bernie Sanders, they said, was a white supremacist. So,
All
right, but
our movement is growing by leaps and bounds.
Right. I mean, the two people getting the biggest crowds in the Republican and Democratic Party, respectively, are in the same camp with us with regards to this, you know, ridiculous label. But anyway, you get flagged and you get sent over to another table, and you're sharing with us that story. Take all the time you need and pick up where you left off. Take it away, Paul.
Okay, so finally they get to me. And I'm questioned by another Hispanic, and he's telling me, again, they ask you the same questions over and over again, but he asked me where I was going. I told him, well, back to white supremacists, and he says, well, I'm looking at your biography
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Which I might add is completely absurd and biased. And, you know, they will lock your profile to where you can't edit it if you try to be objective. You read the political cesspool's bio on Wikipedia. I mean, my God. But, yeah, right. So, I mean, this is obviously not a credible or a reliable source. But this is what they're basing their opinion on you with. So go ahead, Paul.
Well, yeah, even he admitted, well, it may not always be accurate. I said, well, I'm not quite sure what's in it right now, but indeed, as you say, may not be accurate. Well, then he said, and I'm proud of my Hispanic heritage. Okay, well, what am I supposed to say to that? You know, good for you or bully for you, or I didn't say anything. I mean, I don't think that it's not a question. But in my opinion, that's totally improper. He's supposed to be determining whether I might be a criminal or whatever in terms of entering the United States. Whether he's proud of who he is or not is certainly of no interest to me. And back and forth, and then finally he says, oh, yeah, can you prove you're not being paid for the speaking engagement? Well, I said, it's a little difficult to prove a negative. I can't prove I'm not being paid. As a matter of fact, I'm not being paid, but, well, we need far more information. So he said, we also have to know that you've got ties in Canada and, you know, that your purpose is that you'll be coming back. Well, I have a return ticket that says I'm coming back, I guess. But okay, so I then had to go and cancel my flight on Air Canada, or actually we rebooked it to the last flight in the day. So I was told, you know, this is one of the second biggest travel days of the year. It's the day after the kids get out of elementary school, so a lot of people were traveling. But anyway, Air Canada found me a flight, last flight of the day to L.A. at 9 o'clock. So I go back to my place. I got William Johnson, the president of the American Freedom Party, to fax me a letter where he outlined where the conference was, what the schedule was, the hotel, that I was invited, that I was not being paid, and so on. And I got some tax material that would prove that I have income in Canada, that I even own a piece of property on which I pay property tax. So I have roots here. I'm not about to sneak down into the United States as an illegal and start picking lettuce or something. I got back to the airport in plenty of time, and this time, at this point, I knew they really were coming for me. At primary inspection, almost everybody is approved of primary inspection. They didn't even ask me where I was going. They just looked at my passport and sent me on to secondary. Okay, secondary, now I'm dealing with a big Negro woman. And she starts asking me about, this group, the American Freedom Party, they have some connections with authoritarian. She didn't even know what it was all about. I said, no, not at all. They're very much for freedom. It's all like almost a libertarian party. And they're not totalitarianism at all. That's the opposite of what these folks are all about. I was carrying some booklets that I show for people that might want to buy and some newsletters. So she searched through them. And all these documents they claimed they needed, you know, proving that I wasn't going to be paid, et cetera, I gave them to her. She hardly even looked at them and gave them back to me. So that was not really a sincere request. It was just busy work in the hopes that I wouldn't be able to get them and would miss my flight. So in the end, she just yells at an associate, oh, he needs a visa. So this guy hunched over a computer for half an hour and pounded out a form, which actually allows me to withdraw my application to enter the United States. And he said, I need a visa. I said, well, can I get one tonight? Oh, no. He says, you have to apply online. I thought, well, okay, I'm not going to California. On the form, it cited a section of the Immigration and Naturalization Act under which I apparently fell. So I called California and told them I wouldn't be there and went back to my place and took me an hour and a half to fill out the application for a visa. It's very unusual. The only Canadians who normally need visas are people who are going down on a big business deal or to be an entertainer and actually earn money over a period of time, or students. If you're a Canadian citizen, you normally don't need a visa. So I did all that, and I had another engagement the next weekend, the 4th of July weekend, at the Freedom Palooza in eastern Pennsylvania. I thought, well, maybe I can get my visa in time. I got an email receipt, and I also got a notice that I had an interview at the United States Consulate in Toronto for the 14th of July. well, that wasn't going to do me any good. I wanted to be at the Freedom Palooza on, you know, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of July. So it's very, very hard to get to find anybody to talk to. The government bureaucracy, it's a press one for this, press two for that, or look it up online. But finally, Monday morning, I did get a human being somewhere in D.C., and he told me to apply online for to apply for an expedited interview. So I did, and I got them the next day, June 30th. I went down to the United States Consulate and the in Toronto, which has this big gay banner hanging, rainbow banner hanging. It looks so junky from the front of the consulate because that was so-called Gay Pride Week in Toronto. I'm assailed with that. And I go around to the back. That's where you go for these interviews. And it's a very, very cold, almost like a big garage, all sorts of security. And I found out I was not on the list when I went to security. I said, well, here's a receipt that says, I have an appointment here at 1:15. So the guy went in and checked it out, and okay, sure enough, he said. So I went in, and the first person I talked to informed me that they didn't have my application. I said, well, here's the receipt. Well, we don't have it. Okay, so finally, I was told to go to an internet cafe across the way.
Hold on right there. Let's push pause right there, as much as I hate to do it, because I know everybody is as riveted to the story as I am. But we got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to push play and let Paul pick up at that very word. Stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. You a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we're talking with Paul Fromm about his incredible ordeal with the Department of Homeland Security, who have has all of a sudden arbitrarily decided to deny him entry into the United States, despite the fact that he does business here on a regular basis. He's been here hundreds of times over the course of the past two decades, law-abiding citizen. But they don't agree with his politics, apparently. Either it's DHS or some other branch of the government. You know, so much for the land of the free. As one of our readers writes on our website where we've posted this story, more and more the so-called exceptional nation has become an outright embarrassment. So even if they disagree with Paul Fromm's politics, we're denying people now entry here because they disagree with the regime? You know, is this what America's all about? While in the meantime, thugs with seven felonies, you know, who commit murder and rape, et cetera, you know, they get a pass. The Department of Homeland Security didn't catch them. They didn't flag them. Probably too busy that week. You know, that murder occurred on July 1st, a week later. You know, I was getting a call from DHS agents saying, you know, you better stop, you know, promoting that Nathan Bedford Forrest rally you're planning. So, you know, apparently, they've got their eyes on the right targets, people like me and Paul. Right, Paul? And continue your story where you left off, please, sir.
They told me they didn't have my application, so I was sent across the street to an internet cafe, and I had to be back by 3 o'clock. Okay, it was very difficult, but I managed to get that done and sent it off, got a receipt, and I'm back with 10 minutes to spare. The security guards tell me, they've all left. I said, it's not even 3 o'clock. I said, well, look, I was told, here's a piece of paper saying if I'm back by 3, I get my interview. Well, they checked it out. Okay, I go in. I get fingerprinted, all 10 fingers. I guess all 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. And then I have an interview with another black woman. And when we talked about it, at least when I thought about an interview, I thought I'd be sitting across a desk or a table from somebody. But it's nothing that, welcoming, where I was standing in a booth, and across this plexiglass barrier was this woman, and she's speaking to me through a microphone, and I can hear this sort of tinny sound. That's her voice. So back to the usual questions: Why are you applying for a visa? Well, I said because I was told to by this sheet of paper. So I told her what I was going down to the States for. Of course, by now it's changed. I'm going to Priampalooza. I said, this sheet of paper questions, cites a portion of the Immigration and Naturalization Act. And I said, I looked it up online, and I don't think it applies to me. And this is what she said. She said, they just put that down. The people at the Homeland Security at the airport just put that down because they didn't want you entering the United States.
All right, let's hold up right there, folks. I want Paul to repeat that. So she basically said, essentially, for no cause, they put that down there because they just don't want you to come to the United States. Not that there's a reason for it other than they disagree with you politically, but there's no cause for them to take that action except for the fact that they're trying to give you a hard time.
Yes, in fact, she as much as admitted that it was nonsense. She said they just didn't want you entering the country. So in other words, they could have quoted the Highway Traffic Act. It applied to me as little. She said, well, they saw Nazi flags in your suitcase. I said, I wasn't carrying Nazi flags. They never unfurled any of it. I think I was carrying 3 or 4 flags that people could buy. She said, when did you immigrate from Germany? I said, well, I didn't immigrate from Germany. As you can see on my passport, I was born in Latin America. And just to forestall further questions on that, I said, my father was in the oil business, and I'm a Canadian born abroad. And it says that in my passport. A moment or two later, did your father serve in the German army? I mean, this woman had Germans on the brain. I said, no. My father was Canadian born. He served 3 years in the Royal Canadian Navy in the Second World War. He's never been in the German army. And my mother, to forestall that question, my mother's Canadian born, and she served as a nurse in the Canadian Army in World War II.
But it just goes to show how credible DHS's intelligence is, right?
Oh, if it weren't so sad, it would be funny. I don't know whether this German bashing was perhaps they saw my name and thought, well, maybe we can get a rise out of him. Maybe he'll just suddenly lose his temper and start screaming or whatever. Well, anyway, I wasn't going to do that. So, okay, she thinks about it a bit, and then she turns her back and turns the microphone on. And I can see her talking to a couple of other people back there, and one of them makes the sort of gesture which I read, right or wrong, as being, come on, it's late in the day, let the guy go. Anyway, she turns back to me and says, well, I'm going to approve your visa. I thought, great, I'm going to Pennsylvania. But she says, we need more information. Uh-oh. Anyway, she shoves this yellow piece of paper at me, and I'm trying to read it quickly because she circled certain things, and it's very important, with the government bureaucrats, you've got to give them the information they want. So you've got to be sure what it is they're asking. Well, I'm trying to ask some questions about it. And she just says, no, it's all on the paper, all on the paper. And gets rid of me, and I'm told that she's approving the application, but they need more information, and they will have their assessment back to me at the within 3 months, so I guess the end of September, and that's where it was left. I of course had to call. I had four speaking engagements in the United States in July, and I had to call all the people involved and tell them I'm not going to be there. These are the reasons. Of course, Pastor Tom Robb was very disappointed. I was supposed to teach at his leadership training school. And I ran this whole thing by a number of U.S. attorneys, people in the movement and elsewhere. And I did not get very good news. They said the Homeland, Department of Homeland Security is essentially out of control. There's no real appeal. You pretty much just have to give them what they want. If they want this piece of information, you've got to give it to them. That's all you can do. I was led to believe that if I was in the States and, say, some cop gave me a parking ticket for $1,000 and I looked up the law and the maximum was, let's say, $100, I could go to court and say, well, Your Honor, here, I think this ticket is out of order and it's against the law, and the judge would rule in my favor and so on. With Homeland Security, there's not much you can do. And I was told this by a lawyer who specializes in visas. That it's a very, very arbitrary system. So whether I will be going to some of the meetings that are planned for the fall remains to be seen. This was an extremely disillusioning experience. But people ask, well, why did they give you a reason? And no, what reasons I was given were just nonsense. For instance, they needed evidence that I wasn't getting paid. Well, they got evidence I wasn't being paid, and then that wasn't even any interest to them anymore.
It was just on to the next thing after that, right? I mean, you had these flags that didn't exist, and then it was finally, I guess they copped. Coughed it up that they just didn't want you there. They didn't need a reason. It was just basically political persecution. But do you have any faith and hope, Paul, that you will ever be able to reenter the United States?
This is such new territory for me. I don't know. I and Some of the questions I was asked, and I had to have the answers back within 7 days by email. You know, they don't want like you dealing with human beings. I was asked all the numbers of all the passports I'd ever had. Now, most people, when they get a new passport, throw the old one out. I'm a pack rat. And luckily, I was able to answer that question. All the countries I'd visited in the last 10 years. Last 15 years. Wow. Why?
I wonder why that would matter, though. I mean, how could that possibly matter?
Very good question. As you know, though, in beginning in mid-June, there was an awful lot of attention given to the Council of Conservative Citizens about this fellow who allegedly shot up the people at the Negro church in Charleston.
And of course, the link was completely manufactured by the media and presented as truth, and there was no one. All right, that's a good point. Let's pick up with that there and the speculation that perhaps this crackdown on your entry to the United States after decades and hundreds of visits is somehow tied to the media's treatment of the Council of Conservative Citizens. Stay tuned.
And come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, it's been another quick hour, and Paul Fromm has been our guest for the entirety of it, and he's talking about the treatment that he received from the Department of Homeland Security for no other reason, apparently, than they don't like the way he thinks. And we were getting to the fact that this is his would have been his first trip into the United States since the media manufactured the phantom link between Dylann Roof and the Council of Conservative Citizens, which of course never existed, but it didn't prevent them from presenting it as gospel truth. So the very first trip Paul tries to make into the country since that link was fabricated, and this is the treatment he gets. So you're speculative, Paul, that perhaps that could be the reason, I guess?
Well, yeah, James, I don't know. Nobody ever said, nor did they ever even ask me about the council. But I was the subject of a big smear by one of our big Zionist papers, the National Post, actually just a few days before this. And although they used a lot of accurate quotations I gave them, the headline was all about Canada's connection to the group behind the group linked to the shootings in South Carolina. Well, the link, you know, that type of mischievous connection. A lot of people
beyond well, these links are so tenuous, if not non-existent, and in this case, it was certainly non-existent. I mean,
yeah,
okay.
You and I both know there was no link to this fellow Dylann Roof, whether he did the killing or not, I don't know. But, I mean, the county, he was not a member. He never attended a meeting. As far as we know, he never even contacted the council. He claims he was on the website, but the website is all documented information about black crime and other issues, and it doesn't advocate. The council is an entirely peaceful, law-abiding organization. It didn't tell anybody to go out and shoot people. So, I mean, the connection is, you know, is laughable. But nonetheless, I just don't know if that was what was behind it. I got the impression almost every bureaucrat I dealt with didn't really know much about me, or that they'd been told something. Like there was this big, with the woman who interviewed me, there's this big thing about being German. Well, I wonder if some, I mean, I don't know, did they just say, oh, he's German, he must be a Nazi. Which, of course, if you said that about any other group, would be a horribly racist smear. I am of German ethnicity, but nobody in my family has lived in Germany since 1846. So,
there you go. And if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, your father is of Irish and German extract, and your mother's a French Canadian. And you were born in Colombia because your father worked there, but they were both native Canadians. And then, of course, you moved back to Canada as a very young child.
Exactly. But, you know, even if I had been born in Germany, or even if my father had been in the German army, so what?
Exactly. I mean, so what?
It was as if they were just asking me questions that might provoke me into, you know, some meltdown.
Well, they were trying to troll you to get you to go into this, you know, I guess, diatribe, pro-Nazi diatribe, which you would never do. Yeah, but as it stands now, though, you're still in this hurry-up-and-wait process. Now, they're going to get back to you at some point in September to let you know if you can re-enter the, you know, and you actually generate revenue for the United States. You do your printing here, and so you, you know, actually are a boon to the United States economy. But in addition to being an overall good guy and somebody that I enjoy having the opportunity to share company with a couple of times each year, but so you'll find out, though, in September what they say then, and at that point you'll either resume your trips to America on occasion or take the next step, whatever that may be. Am I right?
Yes. There's a little follow-up to this. In July, I needed to get my printing, so I sent my son, or one of my sons. I sent my son, and he was held for 3 hours by the Department of Homeland Security. The usual silly questions were, what are you going for? Well, to get some printing. Why do you have the printing done in the States? Well, it's cheaper.
Let me interrupt very quickly. I want you to continue this. So your son now. Your son. Now, do you think that they hold up for 3 hours and then some everybody that crosses the Canadian border? Folks, this is a gross and disgusting miscarriage of justice. I mean, this country is really an embarrassment now. But so your son now is receiving the treatment just because I guess he obviously knows you.
Well, yes. In fact, then he was asked, well, what, why are you picking up the printing? He said, well, my father wanted me to do it. Well, who's your father? Well, then they Google my name or something. Is your father a good father? Can you imagine asking a 25-year-old adult that? This isn't a child custody case or something. I mean, what's he supposed to say? I don't know. And then
his
father
country.
Travels a lot to the States. Why does he travel to the States? My son said, well, he has a lot of friends there. Well, he travels overseas. My son said, yes, he was in South Africa recently. He's working on a book. Oh. So they, and at one point, he believes it wasn't just Homeland Security. There were police. He said at one point there were 8 people in the room questioning him. Finally, he was allowed to go. He picked up a printing, came back to Canada, no further incidents. But, it's a clear message, basically. We're going to hassle you. And I've talked to others. I talked to a lady actually in your part of the state, in East Tennessee, and she said her husband is a German citizen. He's got a fantastic job. And he owns property. They live in East Tennessee, but he's most of the time working overseas. Every time he comes back to the United States, he gets a 2 or 3 hour delay and in-depth grilling. He's not even political. And she thinks that it's basically racial. It's anti-German. He's a law-abiding, no criminal record, businessman, lots of money in the bank. You know, just the ideal person, not a dead-end criminal like the one the Homeland Security let in 5 times and killed that woman in San Francisco.
You laugh to keep from crying, Paul. I chuckled there as you. Look, this is why this show exists.
Yes.
To bring to a large audience the truth and what's really going on now, you know, as what is it that Keith Alexander so often says? We're no longer the land of the free, but may we forever be the home of the brave. And I think that's all we have to shoot for now. But, you know, hope springs eternal that things can change, and things can change, and they can change quickly. But we will keep you apprised and abreast of this story. I told you earlier this hour that we would fill you in on the latest happenings with the Council of Conservative Citizens, who had come under threats of death threats this weekend. They were to have a conference, and the usual suspects, the practitioners of tolerance and diversity, are rumored to have called the hotel and threatened violence against the staff and the management of the hotel. The event gets canceled. I was going to talk to you more about that this hour. We'll push that to the next hour after Mark Weber's on, and I'll tell you what's going on there with that. But in the meantime, Paul, because we only have a minute remaining, and unfortunately, we'll have to let you go. But as it stands now, and we will have you back on in September so you can tell us the resolution to this, or at least an update to this if they continue to jerk you around. But as it stands right now, you're waiting to hear back from them at some point in September as to whether or not the visa that you're not required to have will be granted, because they say you need to have it now all of a sudden after all these times and all these trips and all these years. And so we'll follow up with you then about that, and then we'll see what's going on. Is that pretty much where we stand now?
Yeah, that sums it up pretty well.
Well, then that's what we'll do, ladies and gentlemen, with Paul Fromm. These are the kinds of people, and I know a lot of the people in this audience have met you. You are over here. You know, I have shared the stage with you numerous times. I, you know, have been in your company dozens of times. And, you know, I know a lot of the people in my audience are familiar with you. If they've not met you, they're familiar with you. These are the kind of, you know, Paul Fromm's the kind of guy that the DHS will really tighten the screws on. And then you can just imagine how many millions of law-breaking illegal aliens are coming over here. Paul wasn't even trying to crash the country. He was just coming over here to give a talk and go back home where he will resume his life as a father and a businessman, but no, you know, that's the one we've got to keep out because he's said things that we don't agree with. This is where we're at in America. It's a soft totalitarianism that's getting a little bit harder every day. But you know what? I have faith. I have faith that it's going to turn around, and when it does, it will be because of people like Paul Fromm, who refused to be silenced, and people like yours truly, if I do say so myself, in the audience of this radio program. Paul, our hearts and minds and prayers are with you, and do keep us posted on this. A final word in the seconds we have remaining, anything we didn't cover that you'd like to share with the audience, and we do only have seconds left.
Well, just if anybody would like to be in touch with me, you email me at paul@paulfromm.com. That's P-A-U-L. P-A-U-L-F-R-O-M-M.com, and I'll give you more information.
Well, Paul, thank you for taking an hour of your Saturday evening and appearing with us to share with the audience your story. Again, this is a story that, as far as AM radio is concerned, there's just no other show in the country that's talked to him. And that's a shame, because if he was a Muslim, if he was an illegal alien, if he was if he was linked to terrorists, and he got, I think that they would have him on as some sort of a civil rights hero, you know, for having to be subjected to this sort of treatment. But because Paul is, you know, an Anglo-Saxon, he doesn't, he doesn't fit the narrative. But we're going to have him on, and we will have him back as well. Paul, thank you, brother, and God bless.
Thank you.
When we come back, Mark Weber, from one all-star to another.
Political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.